Welcome, everybody. This is BNP Weekly, episode 108. We're way past the 100, closing to 200. Or way past the 100, closing 1,000.
So you're almost for 2 years, right?
Yes. Is it 4 years already?
Two.
Okay, never mind.
Like 52 weeks in a year, right?
Oh, you do? Every day you learn something. No, just kidding. Today is the 7th of December 2020. And in the BNP Weekly, we always talk about what's happening in Microsoft 365 platform, focusing on Microsoft Teams, ODSP, Graph, and all of this stuff, but also the end-user perspective. Today, we have a slightly, well, it's not off topic. This isn't going well.
I'm listening. Where are we going with this?
Are you talking about me?
Yeah, exactly.
Where are you going with this?
You know, they are everywhere. Yeah. So we are off topic.
My name is Vesa Juvonen. I'm a program manager in OneDrive SharePoint Engineering Science. With me as a co-host is Valdek. Who are you?
Hi, everybody. My name is Valdek Mastigas. I am Cloud Developer Advocate with Microsoft. And today, as Vesa said, we have a guest. Definitely not off topic, very much on topic.
Yes.
From Belgium, Isabel van Kampenhout. Welcome, Isabel.
Thank you.
Now, Isabella, can you do a quick intro? Who are you and what are you actually doing?
Okay, I was thinking about that, but I wanted to be sure. So I'm Isabel van Kampenhout and I'm from Brussels, Belgium. And I've been working on Microsoft Data Platform since 1999, actually. That's quite long. But I never get bored, so that's fine, I guess. So I've been working on SQL Server and on BI, and then on SharePoint BI. Can you picture that?
Was it the performance point? Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. I've been working on that and on the different flavor of BI that was mixed and included with SharePoint. That was some rough time. That was very nice. And at the time, I was also working with SharePoint teams for all the SQL aspect, you know, tuning, performance, clustering, all that kind. So I had a lot of fun. And then all is now going to the cloud.
So I don't know if you knew that a while back, I actually implemented a content management migration tool based on ETL in SSIS.
Oh, nice.
And I did a little bit of work with SS, I think it was SSRS, that was the reporting part.
Can you explain what those are?
SQL Server reporting services, SQL Server integration services, and you also had the modeling part. What was it? Those
analysis.
Analysis, yes. SSIS, yeah. Yes.
It still exists.
Oh, really?
I still have a project on-prem, actually, and we are using the full stack, but we are not using SSRS. We are using PBI-RS, which is the Power BI report server on-prem. And it's kind of the replacement of the SharePoint BI farm, because you can use the paginated report, so the classical one from SQL, but also Power BI report and also Excel report with an Office Online server. So it's kind of fun. And we are working with an SSS as well. So I like to have some exotic, you know, projects like that.
Absolutely. When I worked with that, I think it was 2007. And I guess like back then it was a very big thing where they would introduce in reporting services, I think it was called Decomposition Tree. Like it was this fancy chart. Like it was available back then in Performance Point, I think.
Yes.
And then everybody was like, whoa, you can do this now. And everybody was like, well, yeah.
Absolutely. And for a long time, because we were doing a lot of session with my associate, Serge Lucas, Dr. Flo, that's everyone knows. So we were doing a lot of session about SharePoint and BI, and it was always, okay, Power BI is nice, but we do not have the decomposition tree, so it's not that.
Yeah.
And does it nowadays have it?
Yes.
So it's, of course it's there.
Yeah, of course. Eventually.
It took a while.
Yeah, it's not that. I think it was this year, actually.
Really?
Or maybe.
Wow.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. Wow. We had to wait for that. Yeah.
Now you've been around for a long time related on the reporting and Power BI and everything else. How do you see this transition? Are we now all in on the Power BI side of the house, or how does it actually look from your perspective, from a customer perspective? Is everybody in the cloud already? And in on-premises, are they using then the Power BI on-prem adaption, or how does it actually work?
So, of course, I can only speak with the few customers I am working with.
Sure.
But yes, what my latest project, the last 3-4 years, it was about Power BI, with the exception of that project, that customer I was talking about, because for the moment, they are not allowed to go to the cloud. But for most of the company, they are transitioning. And most of the time, the thing that opens the door to the cloud is SharePoint Online. It's Office 365, of course. So thank you for that.
Because all of the content is already in the cloud. So then,
yeah. The moment they clicked on that, and but actually we are already in the cloud. It's a big step. Because they always are ticking that data, it is so sensitive. Actually, the majority of your sensitive content can be on your SharePoint list as well. So are you aware that you are already in the cloud?
Well, and also the fact, like email, we've been with email in the cloud since forever, because the moment you send email, it's gone. It's out. It's on somebody else's server. So honest, the whole argument, like, data privacy, like, well, you've been sending email, right? So
been
but there's a difference between email and a corporate super sensitive data, but still
you send email with attachments, right? Attaching project plans and contracts.
We should disable that feature, actually. Yep. Because it's the hell you are generating copy
right. Text it.
So maybe we can do a formal request to, disable that feature. Everyone will cry, but at the end, it will be nice, you know.
Now, Isabella, how do you see the for you as a data, let's say, scientist? Is that's the right way of calling your kind of a role in the project? Is it?
Actually, no. Data scientists, that's another kind of people, but I'm used to work with them. Actually, usually I call myself something like, you know, I do not really like a word for that, but like a data architect, because I am doing the roadmap for people. I am opening the perspective and explaining where we are going and what are the possibilities. But also I can play the role of evangelist in the company, so to help people for the transition. And the big transition is not the fact that they are working with cloud or online stuff, is that no, it's all about the user first, you know. So we have the same story in Power BI, because it's the self BI part. And I've even been on project where I was called by the business, not by the IT. And that's a big change.
Yeah.
And when I'm talking about adoption of the new stuff, the first thing I need to start with is with the IT itself.
Yeah.
Because they are still thinking in the old fashion, you know, that they will organize all the stuff, that's fine, but that they will manage all the stuff, that it will be a lot of work and that they are overwhelmed already, but they don't get that it's different. They need to organize, they need to put a lot of governance, but then the people will play by themselves and it will enrich the whole system. So they need to create some nice pipeline about that. It's really different, and you need to teach them with that, and it's not easy.
So, actually, on that one, let's drill slightly on that one. How do you how do you create a pipeline? So basically, if I understood that kind of correctly, is that the way you're approaching things is that the IT is then enabling the data to be available somewhere in a certain format, and then the end users who are the business specialists, they basically then analyze the data and build the stuff on top of the Power BI, because that's absolutely the way mm-hmm. it's intended to be used. Is that the way how you're differentiating then the people?
Actually, it will depend on the company and the culture in the company. So, for instance, one of the projects I'm working with, they are doing BI for 20 years. They are really structured. They have a big data warehouse, but they needed to put more self-service into it. But still, what they are delivering to the user is a big model, a big cube, and then the ability to connect to the cube and to do the reporting. So that's the way. It's not that open, actually, but in the culture of that company, it was a big opening, because before that, they were doing pixel perfect reports on demand, you know, so the IT was overwhelmed. So it's a big step for them. But in another company, for instance, they have a big, big adoption about the Power BI layer. So now they are with a lot of reports that don't even know where they are coming from, you know. And in the meantime, they are working with data marts and with a very official way to do stuff. But they want to have both worlds. So for that, you need to create a way to discriminate what is published on your Power BI tenant, your Power BI environment. So you need to create some kind of different flavor and a new, not that new, but a feature who is now generally available, which is the certification. So in Power BI, we can now put certificates on the good ones, you know, to help to discriminate. So what we are doing there is that we have three levels of reporting. We have a totally managed level. So it's the old way the IT is doing a key on the door. Then you have what they call the managed data mart. So they are providing the data and then people are creating the report. And then they have the totally open bar self-service. The only thing that is required or should be required for people is that they follow a training on governance, on how to create the report. And maybe they will plan a little certification inside the company, you know, a little quiz just to make sure that there will not be super ugly stuff at the moment. So,
and that was actually precisely the kind of a different way of approaching things, because I think the key question, what I always have, I build Power BI reporting and mm-hmm. on the telemetry what we have, but it always comes back on, is the data in a certain format so you can actually create a proper report out of it. And then you mentioned the magical word related on data warehouse, and there's a massive amount of data and petabytes of data about the business somewhere. How people should be approaching this? So let's say my brother has access on Power BI and he would like to get access on the data warehouse, and he has access on data warehouse, but there's too much of data. How do you actually start approaching this typical problem?
And maybe there's also another thing to add to that. Are people allowed to create their own data source through ETL, or are they limited only to use whatever data is there, mm-hmm. even though it might not be in the perfect shape they need, and build a report on that?
Yes, that's actually an excellent question, of course. And of course, the answer will be, it depends, but I will dig a little.
I will dig a little. And here we hope the data will be just one area where it doesn't depend. It's just black and white.
You know, we are not today in a black and white or one and zero environment. Yeah. So if people want to grab data from the company, we need to teach them how to use the data. If I go back to the project where people are only allowed to consume what is produced in the data mart and in the cube model, we had to explain to people how the model was working. So we are doing a lot of workshop with Aria and explaining, okay, if you need that attribute, that information, that numbers, you will need to go there. We are there perspective as we call them, that are organized for that. So you can understand how it's working. But you need to do training, to do workshop. There is no way for me that a person can directly dig into data and find his way. That's a dream, but that's not happening. Sorry if I break your heart somehow.
Not at all.
In the meantime, you need also some time to leave people doing their own kitchen, their own stuff, because it's just for a one-shot situation, or it is a prototyping activity. And that's super nice and super powerful, because usually in the old classic BI project, we had to meet with people and to say, okay, what do you want to have as data? Where are those data? How can we use you see, now we give people the Power BI and they are digging into their stuff and they are producing something. And you can start the conversation from there. And it's very, very nice and very, very rich. So, voila.
Another thing I wanted to ask that popped into my mind is, how do you document the cubes? Because like you can give folks access to the data, but it's a report and columns might be logical or not. So how do you show them the way around? Like, where can they find what and how do you keep that in sync with the cubes?
What we have done at one of the projects is that they've used description extended properties for the different column attributes that you can have in the dimension. So you have a kind of catalog, and I told one of my colleagues, you can certainly do that with a script. So we are just adding the metadata to the structure of the cubes. So when a person is trying to grab one of this information, he can see what it is about.
Right.
But we also have meta reports. You know, it's a report on the,
on the report.
Yes, report on the report. And the same, if you don't have any cube, but you are using Power BI report, they are little cube, actually, when you think about that. It's really. Yeah. So the VertiPack engine, it's kind of like the analysis service tabular. So there are mini cubes. So if you are publishing Power BI report and you want to document them, it will be the same way that you document a cube, actually.
Okay.
But if you want to really do a catalog and from your Power BI tunnel, your report, your data set, and all this kind of stuff, no, we just have the Purview, which is just coming out. I don't know if you have heard about it.
Nope.
Okay. Former, it was called a data catalog. Maybe it's ringing a bell in your mind. No? Okay. It's another part of Azure. So, but it's very, very, very exciting, because it is a service in Azure that will allow you to go through all your data source, so not only the Power BI one, but we are very excited in Power BI to be able to use it in the following months. But it will give you the possibility to create catalog with all your data and your data source and all this kind of stuff.
Interesting.
So, yeah.
Brilliant. That is brilliant, because I can imagine, so that would then be the single place for you to go to and find out what data you have in your org and then learn where it's coming from and so forth and so on. Excellent.
So we put a lot of hope into that, because usually you need to do that by hand or with third party.
Excel sheets.
No,
Excel sheets.
But yes, it's a very nice new feature. So there are already some video popping around it. So and I just created my account yesterday to test it, so I can't say that much for the moment, but I'm super excited about it. Cool. Yeah.
But that's actually a good example of the abstraction layers which Azure is adding one step at a time. So whenever we have the baselines then done, the data and all of that, now we're adding an abstraction layer and making it more easily to understand what's available across the stack, which is really interesting. This is almost like, Waldeck, what was the called? I know, Waldeck, you might remember this. Back in the time, like at some point there was this enterprise API surface, which was really a hot thing. So everybody was planning to have a service kind of an API where you can go and ask what are the APIs, what this enterprise is.
Discovery?
No, before that even. Doesn't matter. But it's almost like having a catalog of APIs or
Vista,
data.
Right? You're talking about.
No, the concept behind of BizTalk, BizTalk was just one way of accessing these things. And never mind.
Being able to catalog is the fantasy of everyone in IT, in the infrastructure, as in the data layer, as in the application
layer. And then have the statistics on which of the data is being accessed, how much, and all of that, so you understand the criticalness of that data as well. One of the reason why actually this relates significantly on my work as well is that there's so many data, let's say, pipelines, which we use for telemetry analytics. And every single time, there's all of a sudden a Power BI doesn't no longer update, or there's no refresh. And then it starts like, well, which one of these by data pipeline is now broken? And then you start hunting down on the database and views and everything else. And
there's
then
like, how did this ever work?
Exactly.
Yes, I see. But to be totally exhaustive, a lot of data in the enterprise there, you know, inside the mail attachment or inside Excel hell, you know.
Huh?
Yes,
in excess, right? In excess.
Or, yes, of course. So, data is everywhere, like I mentioned it before. And you need to make people very conscious about that. That's also a journey, because when you think about IT, usually we are all focused more on technology than on information. Yeah. The information part in the company, that is data. And so we need to really think about the way to make that more prominent, more understandable by everyone. That leads me to data culture, actually. So what is an information in the company? What qualifies it as a data? What is the life cycle of it? How can I use it? Operational analytics, this kind of stuff. And then we can talk about technology. But I know we are all excited by technology in the IT. Of course, it's the fun part.
It's the classic story we talked about. Actually, I think I mentioned this in somewhere, but Kimo Forrest, who was a migration specialist in SharePoint, he's now in Azure side of the house, and I think he's doing migration still, but he at some point, he just referenced a statistic which was saying that on average, every single file in the cloud is being accessed on average only once when it's being created. So basically, there's massive amount of data, and most of the data is accessed once when it's actually being created, and that's it, and then it's left there, and then potentially you can't find it anymore or whatever. Earlier today, a simple example, earlier today I was trying to find, I created some cool looking slides for one specific presentation, and I had really massive time of finding the presentation because it was
age.
Thank you. No, it wasn't. I added slides on a slide deck which was shared with me, so it wasn't my slide deck. So finding that from
office.com.
Amount of data
office.com.
Just, of course, yes, using search and everything else, you can actually do that. But it's just, it takes ages.
It is. And it's like so, like up until now, I've worked a lot at companies that weren't really that big. And now being at Microsoft, like you find data left and right. And it's like the first thing, like that's like, am I allowed to use it and with whom?
Like, yes.
Like how classified it is. Is it meant for public use or is it very much internal only and you basically should not come anywhere near it, right? So that's like, that is the first thing. And then it's exactly said, like, where was this? Because at a day you see 20 files or 50. Mm-hmm. It's like, which one was this? And it isn't mine. So where did I see it? And then you try to like, think back your browser history, bookmarks, office.com, Delve, like where can I find this thing? So yeah, it's very much, it's like the bigger the scale of data around you, the bigger the issues, like finding the right data that is up to date, relevant, you are allowed to use, allowed to share, and you can find it back.
Yeah. It's the concept of data quality, of course. And this is a big one when you, because we were talking about the self-service challenge. This is a big one, of course, because on one side, one allows people to do to have freedom, but then you need to teach them what it is a good data, what is data quality, or to, enfin, there is a lot of stuff to do with that, because even in the time that we consume on a BI project with BI developer, not talking about self-service, you can say it's more than 80% on the, it's more, yeah, I can say that, to, you know, have the good data at the right place. I remember once a project, because we were starting from almost zero, and there were a lot of operational data source and industrial one, you know, so from system. It was for a company doing hydrogen, I think it's, yeah. So, and it took a year to have a good data for one field. The other, they were quicker and faster. But yes, it took a year. And it was not surprised. And it was not because of administration problem, you know, bureaucracy. No, no. But it was just because everyone, the different teams in the company didn't see the data in the same way. And so that's a big challenge as well.
But I mean, like, that makes sense, right? Because like, imagine somewhere there is a device that logs telemetry, how much of stuff you use, what is the access, whatever it does. And then there are business problems that try to find the answer. What can we optimize to increase the revenue or to cut our costs? And you're like, how do you bridge that, right? And they will, and they will try to look the data from different angles, trying to answer questions that they have, but there are no easy correlation between the data that they get raw in versus what they need as outcome, right? And at that point, you need to have somebody who understands the business and the tech to marry that too, right?
Yes, absolutely.
And that's where the architects, data architects, come into place, right?
So Isabella? It was like very long preamble towards like added value.
Now we know what she's doing. So.
Oh, I'm doing a lot of stuff. I'm also giving training workshops. What I like the most is to share stuff and to bring enthusiasm to people, because I'm a very enthusiastic. Is that the word?
Yes, it is.
I like what I am doing. So, and I like to bring that joy to other people, because it's exciting, actually.
And it is cool. And oftentimes it comes down to, like, when you get that thing to click, when you make your own report, when you get insights out of the data you have, it clicks. And then you're like, I get it. Yeah. But no, like at first you look at these rows of data and you're like, and then you're like.
But that is absolutely the power of the Power BI, right? Because it's so easy to present the data in an understandable format from a human perspective. It's so easy to just
you know which knobs to turn.
Of course. You need to have a view which can be presented in a certain way. So,
But you know what is a little not odd, not weird, but you know, people, they are already too much into grid format. So because of years and years of Excel usage, and Excel is a wonderful tool, and I never let Excel on the side. I always take Excel with me for the journey to the BI, because people need that. But in the meantime, you need to show them that it's not always the good way to use a grid to understand data. So they see the stuff as rows and columns and in a grid, but actually with a good visual, you will see the truth pop into your eyes. But that's a culture change as well.
Yes.
And absolutely. What you see is that people, they are looking at a fancy interactive report. They are using it. And then they want to see the data behind. And the first question when you are doing a report is always, how can I export that to Excel?
And you're like, no!
Absolutely. No. So, but that's interesting because that's where the challenge starts with them to go deeper. It's not only about reporting, but it's about, how to understand the data and how to manipulate them in a visual way. So, and a very important training for me. And yes, because we are, I'm a technical people. I really like to tune a query for 2 days, for instance. I do like that. But also what I like is, for instance, for Power BI, the most important training is what I call the consuming a report. And everyone should have that that training. And I go deep with that, how to consume a report. And the last chapter, the last module is export. Because I want to
access Excel.
Actually, because of that question, I show people, okay, what's the use case behind? What do you want to do with those data? Because once you can do that, but the data will be not refreshable at the end. Yep. And so you will be in trouble. So what's the use case behind that? I have a meeting with my manager. Okay, but you can prepare your meeting in the Power BI report itself. You can create bookmarks and a navigation, and then it will be very nice and shiny to show that to your manager. It will be better.
Or and another, up to date, right?
And up to date, up yes. To date. Of another use case will be, I want to go deeper into the analysis of it. Okay, but you can use Excel and connect to the data set.
Yep.
And from that, you can do your stuff in Excel if you want. Why not? Or you can even go to Power BI Desktop and do the same and add other data source. But you know, you need to go back to the use case to explain the people what they can do. And there is almost no situation where you need to export to a visual to Excel.
Yeah. But it's the mentality, because people are so familiar with Excel that it drives the mental thinking that I need to get it to Excel, so I understand it better. Yeah, makes sense. Should we do some articles?
Let's do some articles.
And then jump to the article sharing, and let's talk about this in a second. Quick recap on what's happening within the past week. Not a super quick. There's a lot of actually Microsoft news last week. When was it? It was the Thanksgiving week when there was no news, and now there's like a trillion amount
for two weeks, right? We have now 2 weeks of news in single week.
Basically, yes. So first of all, updates from Microsoft Teams. This one was actually really interesting. AI-based noise suppression. Apparently, that's working, which is pretty cool.
On Windows only, right? Is this now?
I don't know. Why would it be a Windows specific thing?
I believe it was launched initially only on Windows.
Okay. I don't understand why it would be only in Windows, but again, so new to Keter mode selections, which are coming, that's pretty cool as well. We've been using those in community calls already, polls in a Teams meeting. That's really cool, getting those more interactive as well. Full screen support for meeting experience, that's nice as well. I'm still waiting for the layout change. I think that's coming at some point as well. So you can actually do selection of layouts, so you can have your face, whatever you're sharing at the same time in Teams. That's pretty cool as well. Updated, well, there we go. Updated layouts meeting. Oh, that's when you're presenting. Okay, that's cool as well. And plenty of other news and devices are coming. A lot of other investments in here. I think we're closing into the year. So the next weeks will be a lot of news and then silence. Right? Power Platform custom development, a lot of movement in here as well. New versions available for Teams. A lot of stuff actually happening in Teams, which is not that big of a surprise. A lot of investments in there. Now, the devices, there was also a blog post related on Microsoft Teams calling devices for every user. So USB solutions, affordable phones with hardware buttons. Do we still need this? Apparently people need to have this.
If you are in the office and you don't work on a laptop the whole day, I don't know, maybe.
Yeah, I guess so. So, and then Teams displays are coming as well. This one is really cool as well. Do you want to, Waldeck, recap what this is all about?
Sure. So on December 16, my team is going to hold a 2-hour live stream all about developing apps for teams. So we will take you from 0 to 100 about what these apps are, why would you care, and how to start. And we will talk about tabs, bots, and whatnot, basically everything that you can build in Teams. So I would very much encourage you to register, which is it's a free event. You will get invite for us in your calendar, and you will be able to learn together with us. We have some guests. We will have some other folks from community too. So it will be really great for you to come there.
Yep. Excellent. Thanks, Waldeck, on that one. Host your new next virtual party, Microsoft Teams with apps and screen sharing games. So this one is actually really interesting as well. So basically, now that everybody is working remotely or meeting people remotely even, we can actually use the Teams to get to the next level. So it's actually really cool. Cool idea to have a quiz shows with the people.
Kahoot, yeah. Kahoot, these are really yeah. cool. Yeah. These are really yeah. cool.
And other games as well. And there's my picture of Mike there as well. Good. Introducing SharePoint success site, drive adoption and get most out of SharePoint. This one's pretty cool from a SharePoint side of the house as well. So basically a ready-to-use template from the Lookbook site, which you can provision for being information around being successful on a SharePoint. So helping on the adaption, driving off adaption of the usage. So basically guidance and all of that. And this links to the learning pathway sites. So basically it's a complement on that one. So ready to use guidance on people how to be successful, not only on SharePoint, but also on Microsoft Teams, which is really cool. SharePoint Roadmap Pitstop November 2020. And there's the IntroZone article, and then plenty of new stuff, Bates Diagnostics updates, MyFeed Web Part. This is really, really cool stuff, something which we've been waiting for years. Now that the graph is providing this, this is actually really cool. So you actually can see all of the things, what's happening around you. As a social media, kind of a social media feed as well. It's really around everything what happens in Microsoft 365. List undo redo at clans key points on a sharing, update sharing SharePoint tab app, Microsoft Graph connectors, Microsoft Search on the related side.
A lot of stuff, isn't it? Yeah.
It's just, I think everybody is closing into the year, like I said. So a lot of stuff being announced.
We need to ship this. We need to ship everything before the end of the year. Yes.
Exactly. To be fair, I don't think we're shipping anything anymore. So these are just announcements. We are already in the holiday season from a release perspective. Microsoft Graph Query API for Microsoft Graph now generally available. So that's really cool as well. Microsoft Search API is in the Microsoft Graph. So you can actually access the information and build the custom experiences there. Announcement and public preview of Microsoft Teams Activity Feed API. So basically activity, so you can actually hook in and add messages to people. So you can actually send messages, and then when you click that one, you will actually see something which is opened on the right side. And there's a good sample related on that one, actually, somewhere in here. We'll get to that one in a second. We also announced new Microsoft 365 Patterns and Practices team members. So our PMP basically is Microsoft 365 community, and Luis and Sebastian are now part of the core team. And we want to extend the team even more. So working together with MVPs and other community members to share stuff. So share stuff.
Share stuff community. Yes.
Share stuff. Yes.
In this community, we share stuff.
We share stuff, yes. How to create single sign-on authentication for DApps apps with Microsoft Teams Toolkit for Visual Studio Code. So there's a new version of Microsoft Teams Toolkit. It is actually 1.1.4 already. This one, there was a small bug on the 1.1.3, which was upgraded then on the same day. But really making it easy for build JavaScript-based extensibility for Microsoft Teams. So really cool stuff as well. And the last one from Microsoft, I think so. This week is the Microsoft 365 Collaboration Conference, starts from 9th of December. What day is it today? Today is 7th. Wednesday. So Wednesday to Friday is the Microsoft 365 Collaboration Conference happening. And Jeff and Caruana and Dan Holm is having their own keynotes. So really cool. Now, on this week, there's also Microsoft 365 Saturday Bangalore 2020, so happening on Saturday. Yes, it is. So because we've been having Saturday, Microsoft Truth is about Saturday happening on Friday, which is slightly confusing, but I think this time it's actually on Saturday. There was also a nice update from Bill Beer, improving search relevance in Microsoft Teams. So basically an update on that one and how the relevance is being now improved in the Microsoft Teams. So in the past, Microsoft Teams search hasn't been really that awesome, and it's getting better and better, which is really good. What else happening? This one is pretty nice. A free open source story on having a snow thingies floating on the
snow thingies.
Snow thingies.
Snow thingies.
Snowflakes. Snowflakes.
And I guess there is also a little bit of ice under the navbar.
Yeah, navbar. And this Merry Christmas message as well, which you can close. So
I have also seen Christmas background for Teams.
Brilliant.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Cool.
I guess that's totally.
Yeah.
Today I learned. Christmas background for Teams.
Christmas background for Teams. And now you start searching that.
Yes, this one's really cool.
Shao Ferreira, how to add Microsoft Clarity to modern SharePoint. I had no idea what is a Microsoft Clarity, but apparently it is a usage analytics
telemetry,
as well.
Analytics tool, yeah.
Exactly. And basically, Shao is walking through how to set up things in Clarity, and then how to deploy a solution, and then get more insights. And it actually gets up to the level of analytics on the where is mouse moving on the page, and that's actually really cool.
Brilliant! I don't think I ever knew of this.
Yeah, well, honest. Me neither. So,
ta-da!
Ta-da! Here it is. Every single day
I learned. Like you're in this call, and we learn stuff ourselves, which is brilliant.
Yeah. Absolutely. Now go away. Here we go. And this one is from Luis Manas. And this is really around the fact that implementing SPFX based, in this case, doesn't really matter what's technology, but SPFX based extensibility, where you can send messages under activity feeds. So basically taking advantage of the Microsoft Graph new activity APIs to send messages to people. And that's actually really, really cool. And we'll probably have a community call demo on this one pretty soon as well, which is cool. This one from Greg, how to get started on with SharePoint Lookbook. Really big thing for us as well. So there's a gajillion amount of ready-to-use templates and starting points for people to get started and to tenants. And that's actually really, really cool. So you can really easily do customer facing demos using this kind of a setup. That was really the intention of the lookbook. A lot of articles. SharePoint framework development tips enhance your developer experience with the newly created components. Good tip from Sergey related on how would you configure the TypeScript settings in an optimal way for SPFX development. So that's basically the idea in here. And then there was a new podcast from the
Rabia Williams
365 Days of Cloud. There it is. Yes. And that's what I'm actually looking for, the podcast name. Around Microsoft Teams incoming webhooks. And there's a lot of other actually really great episodes here as well. Women in Tech, Elaine von Bergen. Elaine has been around in the community for a long time as well, and plenty of other really cool things. And latest being on the Microsoft Teams incoming webhooks. So talking about that one. Paolo is having his videos, Teams Messaging Extension, built with your Teams. So how does that look like? We actually, just as recently as today, we talked about with Paolek on that we should have these kind of videos, which is good that people are actually releasing these. Bert had a announcement the last week related on PMP Core SDK, which is a Microsoft Graph first extensibility option for Microsoft 365. And this one actually also has the support for modern pages. So it has a more improved way of doing modern pages in SharePoint using an API. There's no Graph API for that one yet. So for now, it's basically non-Graph API. Makes sense?
Totally. Graph first with graph without graph with, yes.
No, but the modern pages, yes. Modern pages, there's no graph APIs for modern pages. Ta-da. That's yet, at least. So
correct.
few more. The tools for SharePoint Developer Part 2 from Lauren Sittler from last week. So good list of different tools. I was just laughing for the picture in here because there's this super weird looking BNB mascot. That's a
SharePoint designer.
Yeah, no. So this one is a that one was a version out of Parker at some point, but did we release it? Apparently we did. So but there's a good list of different tools and where they are useful, even SharePoint Designer is being mentioned. So because for certain scenarios.
For some things, yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. And then Recording 365 had a little bit more security from Robert Crane, talking about security and what is it?
Malware policy on and common attachment types filter.
Yeah.
There you go.
Malware policy and common attachment time filters. So basically, which of these we will double check and which of these we'll block and all of that. So the classic story of
attachments. Don't share attachments.
Yes.
Share a link. No attachments.
Files. Exactly.
Yeah, or just zip it.
No, but typically zip files doesn't come true. That's the thing because they're being blocked.
Oh.
And then the last one from Cameron Dreyer, how to install or upgrade to the latest version of Human Generator your Office. So when you're building stuff in the Office add-ins, and basically how do you get stuff and how do you update to the latest version. So walking through that as well. Cool. A lot of articles. That was fast. Stop presenting. So, Isabella, what happens before Christmas?
What's
any good projects which you can kind of point? What's happening? What are you doing? Anything interesting on a customer side? Not about customer names or anything, but any interesting projects?
Actually, I'm closing one of my projects, so I'm like writing my, you know, how can I call that? In French, it's a testament spirituel. It's like a will. I'm not sure about the name.
The last will?
Yep. Not last will, but, you know, just to give. Yeah, a testament, but a mind. Will. Yeah. Yeah.
It is the last will. Wow, that's kind of like
I'm planning to do that because I like to have closure.
So
I don't want them to just stop what they are starting. So that's important for me. And for other project is just the day-to-day, and like you say, it's holiday period, so we don't have that much. We just deliver some version, so it's quiet for the moment, to be honest. Yeah. So I will be working on my private stuff, and for the moment I'm working with Dr. Flo, and we will dig into DataServe a lot because I'm planning to do the analytics for SBPM toolkits, and we will add some machine learning as well in the process. So that will be fun.
Interesting, intriguing.
It's still in the kitchen, so just a little.
One step at a time. One step at a time. What are you doing while this week?
For me, it's in between things. Like we are doing the latest preps for the event we're doing on December 16. Other than that, we're closing in to the end of the year, and that's time for us to plan what we will do the next half of the fiscal year at Microsoft.
Sounds familiar.
Exactly. So like thinking, okay, so what have we done last half? What can we do? What makes sense for us to do? Trying to strategize, make longer term plans, and then bring that into basically doing. And then other than that, we're working on still on CLI. We just had another release last weekend. We're working now more around auth. So like making really easy to use CLI with certs, with, for example, in our day, we had a report where somebody couldn't use it with conditional access enabled because device-based auth doesn't allow that. There are quite a few things for us like in which we want to think to make it really easy to use CLI for everybody.
Yeah.
So how about you?
I'm working on our finalizing our actually our telemetry stuff related on today's topic as well. So there's quite a few set of new data pipelines which we're finalizing. And the problem is whenever you have a new data pipeline, even though they're scheduled, then the scheduling fire and goes south, and then you need to go and restart and kick them and all of that, and making sure that the quality is on the right level. Always a lot of fun. We have the monthly community comic call coming Tuesday. This recording will go out on Tuesday as well, but there's a good topic, which is branding in SharePoint Online. So especially now that the company application will be released pretty soon for Microsoft Teams, then it's all about surfacing portals in Teams, and then what are the branding, latest on branding. So Katie Swanson and Kathy Du are going to cover that. So that's
brilliant.
Cool.
That is really interesting. Huh. Not really. I mean, it's like 4-1. Like, that's been a topic that's been really hot since forever, because everybody wants their intranet to look the way they want to. And now you have two people really well versed in design, in SharePoint branding, coming to a call. Like, that is a just perfect call.
Perfect call.
Yeah, that's perfect call to have them on the call.
True. And then there's a few other presentations this week to do as well. There's a partner trainings and all of that stuff related on SPFX and development for Teams, which is actually quite interesting as well. So,
and you any plans around SPFX 112?
Well, obviously it doesn't happen by end of this calendar year.
No, of course not.
But in January, we'll get it out. We'll get it out.
Tuesday.
One Tuesday. But anyway, so a lot of stuff happening. So it's not like it's slowing down yet. So crossing fingers that it will slow down in 2 weeks or so. But anyway, I think that's it for now. So thank you, Isabella, for joining. Thank you for people who are listening or watching. We'll have a holiday break, right, Waldeck? I think we have.
Okay.
We've been debating on having
today
this.
I learned. Break,
not. Yes. But I think it's best we'll have a holiday break so that we have people are getting rest and then on January complete new sessions and new visitors and all of that. So we'll be back in January 11th, right?
Yes, I think correct. So. Correct. So no PNP Weekly for next 4 weeks. The calendar stops today.
Yes.
Oh, that's sad. Right.
Yes. Nevertheless, if we will work, if we will not be offline and we will catch something interesting on social or elsewhere, we'll definitely reshare and try to help everybody reach more people with their content samples and whatnot.
Yes, absolutely. But I think that's it for now. So thank you, Isabella. We'll stop
the
recording right about now. Thank you for joining us. Really good discussion.
See you next year.
Yes.
See you next year.
A better year, I hope.
Oh, yes. Fingers crossed.
Oh, yes.
Indeed. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.